This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always, a diary by Amanda Stogstill. A group of white flowers. Esther, 1939. Standing on the platform, I cry as the strange people take Leah away. Around me, more kids are taken by new parents. I didn't know we wouldn't be together. I almost wish we had stayed in Berlin. But then Hitler's voice plays inside my head. He hates people who don't look like him. When he talked, crowds of people cheered. Since I don't have a diary, I'll have to remember everything from now on. A hand taps my shoulder. Esther? A female voice asks me. But I don't speak English yet, so I can't answer. You're coming with me, darling, to school. Don't be afraid. She takes me by the hand and gently leads me along. I hear kids calling goodbye. I try to answer, but I'm being hurried along. Then we slow down as we leave the station. I get in the back of a car with the woman, and a man is in the front seat. "My name is Mrs. Davis," she said softly. "I'm William," the man's voice says from the front, deep and gentle. "You're Esther, I presume." But I can't answer. "You're going to a special school with other blind girls," he says. I don't understand completely, but Mrs. Davis pats my hand lovingly. We drive for a long time, and I fall asleep. I hear bits and pieces of their conversation as I drift in and out. "Poor thing," the lady who separated them said they took her sister first, Mrs. Davis says.
"Does she understand English besides her name?" the man asks.
"Can't tell, William. I'm not expecting her to speak, not for a while. But this school was the only place for her. You know how strict those rules are, all that paperwork and good medicals. With her little bit of schooling, it's a miracle she was able to get on that train at all." I'm awake, listening to their soft voices. I'm not afraid. I have no idea where I'm going, but hopefully it won't be too bad. Will it? I know the word school from learning it on the train. Mama and Papa always wanted me to go. Before we left, they told us to obey our new families and that we'd see them soon. I could tell they were just trying to be calm for us. When the car stops, I hear the wind and birds chirping. "Esther, we're here," The door opens. I grab my suitcase, and the man helps me out of the car.
"Let me, miss."
The man takes my case. My legs turn to mush as we walk across the grass and up four wide steps. I take two steps on each one. "Come on, dear." Mrs. Davis leads me inside a building with a stone floor, and I see light coming from somewhere. Our shoes echo when we walk up more stairs, down a long hall, and into a room.
"Girls, Esther's here. Come say hello."
I wish I knew more English words. Esther is all I understand. Suddenly, I hear many voices at once.
"Hi, I'm Catherine."
"I'm Mary."
"I'm Hannah."
"My name's Kathleen."
"I'm Lydia. Nice to meet you."
As the girls say their names, my head is spinning. How will I ever remember all their names? Then, suddenly, my legs really become mush under me, and I almost fall. So the woman makes me sit. She pushes me down onto a bed. Then my head hits a pillow.
Almost immediately, I'm asleep again.
The next morning, I wake to people talking over me.
"Is she awake yet?"
"I want to play,"
I hear a young voice say.
"Mary, leave her alone," someone instructs.
I open my eyes, listening to the girls' voices. I can tell Mary is younger than the other girl. I slowly sit up.
"I'm Mary, remember? Do you have a sister? I do. Do you have pets? We have horses and dogs."
"Mary, stop chattering. She just woke up." Another woman's voice.
"Good morning. I'm Kathleen." "Mary and I will talk to you later," Kathleen says. I can tell she's pulling Mary away from me.
A bell rings, making me jump. Someone claps, and the girls start to leave. I think I hear tapping.
"Mrs. Davis will be here shortly."
The other woman speaks softly, but I still can't understand. I feel around to find my suitcase on the floor. Opening it, I pull out the clothes Mama packed.
"Good, you're up."
Suddenly, a woman knocks and enters.
"Wonderful, you're dressed as well. I'm Mrs. Davis, remember? I brought you here. How are you?"
I start to cry because I'm overwhelmed, and she gently holds my hand. "Poor darling," she says. After a while, I stop.
"Use this."
A handkerchief is placed in my hands.
"Are you hungry?"
I don't answer. Why is she talking to me?
"Let's go to breakfast."
The other woman here was Mother Anderson. You'll meet her again tonight. I need to use the toilet, but I can't tell her. She must have guessed, because we go into a room with everything I need. She helps me find everything. After that, we walk down another hall, down more stairs, into what must be a big room, because I can hear girls' voices echoing. They stand as we come in, and I hear wood scraping against the floor. It must be chairs. Girls, this is Esther. They say something to me together, then sit again. Sit here, Mrs. Davis says, and takes me to a table, and I slide onto a bench. So that's what I heard. A plate is being put in front of me. I smell toast and eggs. I pick up my fork and eat. I guess I was really hungry because I finished quickly. Well done. Mrs. Davis is eating beside me. Now we wait. All this time the girls talk and laugh, but the words run together. Some voices are tiny, like little kids. Others are deeper, and there are older people here too. A man comes along the table, picking up the plates and silverware. When he comes to me, he touches my shoulder and says my name. I'm John, he says. I know your dishes are washed separately. I don't answer. Another bell rings, benches scrape, and girls leave. Let's go to your first class, says Mrs. Davis. She leads me to a quiet room. How will I ever find my way around here? So many halls and doors. Esther! I think that's Mary's voice. Yes, we're here, Mrs. Davis says calmly. She leads me to a table. I reach out to feel a chair. Go ahead, sit. The table is like a circle, and it wobbles a little. Esther, this is Hannah, Mary, Kathleen, Catherine, Lydia, and Amy. I recognize the names from last night. You can sit by me. I'll show her what to do, Mary says excitedly. Mary, no talking. You were a beginner once, too. Sorry, miss, Mary says quietly. Esther, this is for you. I feel something long and straight being put in my hands. This is your white cane. Mrs. Davis takes my hand, and I stand up. She shows me how to put my right hand on the handle and stick it out straight. Miss, let me show her, please. One of the girls speaks and stands. Yes, Lydia, you're about her height, so go ahead. The girl tells me her name again. Standing beside me, she takes my hand. we start to walk. The stick doesn't do anything. It just drags along the floor. Lydia stops suddenly. The stick hits something hard.
"Take it and swing it in front of you to see what's in your way," she says.
She shows me how to move my arm from the left side of my body, then back to the right, wide at first, until the stick hits the hard thing again. I reach out until I find a wooden chair. I wonder, how did Lydia know the chair was there? As we slowly walk around the room, Lydia drops my hand. I tap the stick from left to right, but find nothing. Then we turn, and the stick hits another thing, soft, like cloth. My face brushes up against it too. Reaching out like before, I feel coat sleeves. I feel a coat hanging on a wooden peg. Then, past the coat, the stick bangs against something wooden, the door. "Well done!" Mrs. Davis's voice sounds happy, but I still can't understand the words. The girls clap. Smiling, I make my slow way around the other side, tapping the stick with Lydia beside me. I bump into chairs, so Lydia again shows me how the stick stops me from running into things. The stick finds another object, like the chair and the door. I feel a tall wooden thing with shelves. I feel along the shelves and find items with paper. Books, maybe? I didn't know blind people could read. Touching the outside cover, I wonder how this is possible. I start to take one of the books out, but then stop. "Yes, Esther, you can take it." This is Mrs. Davis across the room. Lydia helps me lift the heavy book, and we sit on the floor. I can hear Mrs. Davis talking and something making funny little clicking noises. There's rustling, like when Leah turned pages in her books. "Esther, open it." Whatever she said, Lydia seems excited. Lydia places the book in my lap, and I open it. What are these strange bumps all over the page? I turn the page and find more bumps there, too. I suddenly feel very happy, and I can't wait to find out what these funny bumps are. In fact, each page is covered with lines of bumps. "Well, what do you think?" Lydia asks. I can't answer. "Miss, I forgot. She doesn't understand our words yet." "English, Lydia," Mrs. Davis says. "I understand those words. But I can't finish. Can't say how happy I am." Touching the book, I say, "Tanakh.
I think about how I've always wanted to read that.
No, Mrs. Davis says, standing beside us now. I can tell she's standing because her voice sounds higher up. Sorry. I'm disappointed. Finding the bookshelf, I touch each book and ask again, and I hear the same answer.
No, Esther.
I'm heartbroken.
What's the Tana?
Lydia says incorrectly. She can't pronounce Tanakh yet. I'm happy I'm no longer the one struggling with a different language.
The Hebrew Bible, Mrs. Davis explains.
Let's stop for now, she says. She leads me to a chair at the table. I sit quietly until another bell rings. The girls leave, tapping their sticks. Mrs. Davis leads me to another room. In there is another teacher, with the same girls, I think. I know Lydia's voice now.
I'm Miss Walters, and this is the sewing room, the new teacher says. Here, take this.
She hands me a box of different size beads, a needle, and thread. I begin to thread the needle.
Very good, she says.
I can't understand, but she sounds pleased. Stringing beads is easy. It's something we did at home before Mama taught us sewing. Because I don't have to talk, I can daydream. I imagine I'm back home, baking bread in the kitchen or playing piano with Leah. I wish she were here.
Esther, did you hear me?
The teacher's voice is angry. She taps my shoulder. I say the first word that comes to me. Leah.
No, Esther. I asked you what bead comes next.
I can't understand her.
What?
I guess I look confused because she apologizes. She puts my hand back in the box. I guess she wants me to pick up another bead. I feel the almost full string. Square and round beads slide back and forth. I pick another round one.
Good!
She moves on, beads strong. I tie the end and wait.
Wonderful, Esther.
She seems to like it. The girls leave when the bell rings, but the teacher stops me.
Your name?
When I answer, she says, very good.
Other girls' names? What?
I don't understand that question, even though she uses less words when asking me.
Miss Walters, she can't understand you, Lydia answers.
Of course. See you tomorrow, Miss Walters says. Next, lunch. Oyster stew. When I realize what it is,
I try to explain why I can't have it. In our faith, we're forbidden to eat shellfish. Someone gives me a bowl of vegetables. I'm sorry, Esther, a woman says. I'm Mrs. Porter. Miss Lee and I are learning too. I can't understand all that, I think, irritated. After lunch, Lydia takes me to another room. We sit at a long table. I feel something soft like paper. It's not bumps, but whatever it is, it feels curvy. When I push on it, nothing happens. Let's see what you know. A woman grabs my hand. Find the ocean. What did you say, I think? Miss Price, she can't speak English, Lydia says. Oh, why didn't anyone tell me? She moves on. I feel the soft stuff again and noticed how some of it is pointed, other parts are curvy, and all are different shapes. The soft stuff is stuck on thick paper, with glue maybe? Esther, that's her name. Mary's voice, I think. She arrived yesterday. We'll try and listen, the teacher says. Lydia, look. I mean, feel that. What are those? Mountains, miss. That evening, I meet the other lady again. I don't remember her name. I'm Mother Anderson, she says to me. But you can call me Mother for now. Another new word, but I practice it until she's happy. I'll be here every morning when you wake up and every evening before you go to bed. Kathleen, show Esther where her clothes are kept, Mother Anderson says. Kathleen takes my hand and walks away. But Mother says, No, Esther, you need this. She hands me my case. And Kathleen leads me across the room to a long chest of drawers. She opens one at the bottom. Put your underclothes in here, she says. But I don't understand. She opens my case to show me. We both feel the clothes until she finds something. This, she says, and hands me a pair of stockings. Taking my hand, she helps me put them in the drawer. I understand now. I find all the stockings, socks, and underwear and put them in. Good, Mother says. Now dresses. We hang my dresses on hooks in a long closet. Very good. Next, show her where the washroom is, please. We went out the door into the hall and into the room I was in this morning. I want to tell her I'd been here before, but all I can say is Mrs., because I can't remember how to say her name. You mean mother, Kathleen answers. No, that's not right. I wish I knew more English.
I sigh, frustrated. We explore. Kathleen showing me where our towels are hung near the long row of sinks. She shows me the toilets and the bath, too. We use it every Saturday, she says. I don't answer, but she keeps talking.
Sometimes it's noisy in here and wet.
Mother has to remind Amy, Mary, Catherine, and Hannah not to splash. She laughs, and I laugh too. I can't understand anything, but I think I like her. Before getting into bed, I finally take my doll Minna out of the case. She was at the very bottom. I brush her hair and put her on my pillow. I can smell Mama's perfume on everything. I hope her scent lasts forever. I try to sleep, but of course I can't. I try reciting the Shema, but that just makes me more homesick and lonelier. The clock in the hall chimes 10 times. I can't count in English yet, but I can still count the chimes. I must have fallen asleep because I suddenly feel a hand waken me. Esther, it's Kathleen. Wake up. Kathleen showed me around yesterday. I slowly get out of bed. Kathleen? I hope I said her name right. Yes, Esther? I want to ask her where the closet is. Her hand finds my arm, then my shoulder. I start panicking. I don't know the words for clothes or dress. I touch my nightdress, hoping she'll understand.
Mother, Esther needs something.
Mother comes over. I touch my nightdress again. Then my hand touches Kathleen's dress.
I think she wants her dress, Kathleen says. Oh, yes, over here,
Mother says. And we walk across the room, past the others getting dressed. I hear Mother telling one of the girls something. Then I remember the dresser. We find my clothes and I get dressed.
Now that you're dressed, Esther, let's make your bed.
Mother takes me over to my bed, showing me how to fold the sheet until I do it all by myself.
Good, well done.
Now everybody's dressed and beds made. Time for breakfast.
But I don't know what she said.
She claps, and we line up. A bell rings, and I hear the sticks tapping as everyone leaves. Mother guides me to the table.
Sit next to Mary.
Breakfast is something sticky and sweet. Mother gives me a spoon to eat with. After breakfast, Lydia takes me to Mrs. Davis's room. I hear girls talking. What will they show me today? I'm excited. This room is full of wonderful things. I sit next to Mary again. Esther, say A, Mrs. Davis says. Some letters sound almost like German, but then they become harder to pronounce. After several mistakes, Mary interrupts. Miss, please let me show her. She begins to sing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I hear giggles. I'm not sure from who. Enough, let Mary try. Mary takes me to a corner, and we begin again. Today is Friday. So far, I'm learning how to use the cane, and I'm learning English words every day. Mama and Papa said we'd be living with good people. They've been right. Kathleen and Lydia are my age, and Mary, Hannah, Catherine, and Amy are younger, around 6 or 7 years old. Some older girls stay in another dormitory. They call us the little girls. After breakfast, I'm in the reading room with Mrs. Davis, and she hands me a long metal thing with little squares cut into it. The object can open and shut. When it opens, I feel pins, 2 on the left and 2 on the right. Mrs. Davis hands me a piece of thick paper. She shows me how to put the paper between the 2 pieces of metal. I hear a click when it closes. This is a slate. Then she hands me a small round object with a tip at the end. That's a stylus. Put the stylus into one of the little holes. I feel the point of the stylus, press it into the paper. I can press more than one time in each hole. The hole is full. She tells me to turn the whole slate over and open it. When I do, on the left side of the paper, I feel 6 bumps, like in the books. What is this? I ask. Braille. You read it with your fingers, Amy says. How many dots are there, Esther? I slowly count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in German. That's funny, Catherine laughs. Very good. Can you please count in English now? Mrs. Davis asks. That's harder, but I slowly count to 6. Catherine, she was counting in German before. Please remember she's learning and be kind. No laughing, please. Esther, start on this side. She places my hand on the right side of the paper. I fill the paper with 4 rows of 6 dots. After each line, I move the stylus down to the next row.
Next, Mrs. Davis shows me how to lift the paper off the top pins and move it so the bottom holes of the paper are on the top pins. Before I close it, I see the blank spot between the four pins. I close it and make more rows with six dots. I'm not sure if all the dots are there, but I don't think Mrs. Davis will mind.
Well done.
Can I make letters now? I ask. Yes, let's start with A, she says. It's my second week here, and I'm back in the reading room. Finish writing the alphabet in English. I've always wanted to read and write. Can I write to my sister? I hope I've said everything correctly.
You have a sister? Mary asks. What's her name?
Not now. Finish your sentences first. Then Mrs. Davis says to me, we'll see. You need to learn more Braille.
I can't wait.
Sewing's next. I'm still stringing beads. Miss says this may be my last time doing this. Geography after lunch. Miss Price says, can she speak English yet? Yes, miss, I say very slowly.
Well, that's a relief. Feel this? It's a map.
I slowly say this new word. Most of the girls here are nice. Just not some of the older ones. Every evening, all of us have to walk around outside. Mother calls it exercise. This evening, Mary and I walk past the flower garden.
Hello, girls, a man says. I'm John. You must be Esther.
I am. Nice to meet you. I think I recognize his voice from before. How are the roses today? Mary wants to know. She asks questions about everything every day.
Beautiful. Smell?
He offers. We move closer to smell the flowers. I touch each flower, careful not to touch the thorns. There are so many flowers. I walk along, my hand on the edge of the flower bed, surprised at its length. I hear Mary and John talking on the other side. I can't understand them. John, I think I've heard you. Can't remember, I say in broken English.
You have. I also help Mrs. Porter in the kitchen. When you're lining up, we set the tables. Afterward, we all clear away and wash up,
John answers.
William and I also work around the school, repairing broken things in your dormitories.
I know William. Mary is still on the other side. I was lost one day, and he showed me where to go. Who told you what food I can eat? I attempt to say.
Mrs. Porter knows Jewish shopkeepers, he says warmly.
Can I meet them?
I'm excited. I say something in German.
Do they talk like me?
He says he'll ask her. That's the bell, Mary says. I know the bells, too.
We have to get back. Come on, Esther.
We hear voices as the older girls walk by.
Look, there's that German girl and her little friend. Where are your parents? Can you read? Do they have Braille in your country?
Susan, that's not fair. Mary's voice is furious. She's new and you're mean.
Don't answer them, John replies. They're very rude girls. Apologize, please.
They stop walking. The other girl laughs and says,
she can't understand us anyway. And besides, we don't have to listen to you. You're just the gardener.
She sounds very bossy. Yes, I can, I say slowly. I don't know where Mama and Papa are.
The girls giggle and walk away.
We say goodbye to John and head back up the steps to Mother, who's waiting by the door. John follows because he whispers something to her when we pass. Now in bed, I begin to feel anxious. What if they can't find Leah? I don't even know who took her. Then I remember the piano, which I heard yesterday. Using my cane, I walked down the hall with Lydia. I stopped when I heard something.
Was that music? That's a piano, I say suddenly.
Yes, that's right. It's a piano, Lydia replied.
It's pretty. Can I play? I asked.
Lydia said the girls were playing now, but maybe tomorrow. And after geography today, we played. The piano was smooth, with the same keys as ours back home. The teacher entered saying,
"You must be Esther."
Yes, miss. I've learned that's the polite thing to say to a teacher here.
I'm Mrs. Blake. Can you play?
I said yes, and I slid onto the bench. Memories filled my head. I'm back home. Leah and I walked to Fräulein Goethe's house. She's our neighbor, two houses down. We begin playing right away, me by listening to Leah, Leah learning from sheet music. Fräulein Goethe explained that music is made of symbols called notes. The notes tell people reading sheet music what to play. Since I couldn't read it, I had to listen and remember the music.
Stop now, Mrs. Blake said to me.
Suddenly, I realized where I was. I heard the song I was playing. Mrs. Blake touched my hands.
You're playing very well. Where did you learn? She asked.
Home, I answered, hoping that was right.
Sorry, who was your teacher? She asked slowly.
Fräulein Goethe, I said excitedly, remembering her.
How old were you when you started?
6. Leah was 5. We practiced at a neighbor's. Mama gave her bread when we went over there, I said in German.
You must speak English here. Say it again, please.
Sorry, miss. I forgot. I told her what I could muster up in English.
Well, you're not a beginner, and you can play here. What was the name of the song you just played?
I told her the name of the German song.
Can I read music? I asked.
She said there's Braille sheet music, but I'll have to learn more Braille first. Leaving the music room with Lydia, I felt like flying back home and telling Mama and Papa everything. Today's Saturday. We have breakfast, then do our morning chores.
Today, Lydia, Hannah, and Mary will dust. Kathleen and Esther clean the windows. Catherine and Amy sweep, we're told.
We do this quickly, trying not to step on each other's feet. Mother knits. Once she came over saying, "Stop, like this." I guess she takes Amy's hand and pushes the broom under the bed.
All the way to the back. Hannah, that wardrobe door is still dusty.
Lunch is next.
What's this?
I think it's potatoes, peas, and some meat.
Sausage and mash, Amy says with her mouth full.
So I can't understand her. Mary tells me. I drop my fork with a clatter.
Mother, I can't eat that.
I show her the sausage.
Esther, I'm sorry. I'll get Mrs. Porter.
Mrs. Porter gives me another plate without sausage. She promises it won't happen again, and we finish eating.
Mother, why can't she have sausage? Mary asks. It's good.
She's Jewish. They can't eat pigs or cows. I'm glad Mother explained. I don't know how. After lunch, we have free time. You can sew, read, or play piano, we're told. I want to write to Leah, but I don't know where she's at, I want to say. Kathleen and I go to Mrs. Davis's room. I find a small book and try to read. The words are easy. Sun, flower, go, stop, I read aloud.
Very good, Kathleen claps. Try the next page by yourself.
We read our book silently. Suddenly, I hear the dinner bell.
How many pages do you have left?
She takes it from me. 5 more pages. Maybe you can finish tomorrow.
After a cauliflower and fish dinner, I'm walking with the older girl, Susan. She's the mean one that Mary and I met in the garden the other day.
Do you know why you're here? Because your parents couldn't keep you, she says.
I know, I say quietly.
You do?
She's surprised. I tell her about our journey.
Yes, but do you know how you came to be here at this school?
No. Our parents said that we'd go to England. Families would take care of us, I say. I want to tell her all we needed was our pictures, school, and medical reports. I think about that.
I've never been to school before, not really. When I was 6, Leah and I went to school together. I learned counting and spelling. The teacher was nice and let me listen in class. At home, Papa would test me on what I learned each day. When I turned 7, it was harder because everyone was writing more. The teacher asked me questions in class and wrote my answers for me. This was during recess, so my classmates didn't hear. When I finished that year, I helped Mama and Papa in their bakery. Now I wonder, how did Mama make sure I was on that train if I didn't have school reports? Susan tells me her mother worked for one of the groups that puts us with our families. She was pleased with my parents playing, housework, and what schooling I had. But that wasn't enough. Her mother had to promise that I'd be useful until I left. That's what this school does, Susan explains. We learn to be useful. Does that mean we work hard? She laughs, but not in a pleasant way. It means we'll get jobs and earn a living when we leave school. We won't be a burden to our families. We walk in silence, passing girls being told to walk and not skip by Mother Anderson. I hear their voices and start to say something to them, but Susan pulls me away. That's Amy, Hannah, Mary, and Catherine, I say. I want to join them, but she doesn't answer me. Hurry up, we're nearly done, she says, yanking me in one direction. We stop, and Susan walks away. I'm suddenly lost. I know I'm far away from the other girls. I search around with my cane and find nothing. Is anyone here? I call in German. What did you say? I turn and a man touches my shoulder. I step back.
Esther, it's me, John.